Chapter 3. Now I'll continue to give the record of Jared and his brother. After the Lord had prepared the stones that Jared's brother had taken up to the mountain, he came down from the mountain and placed the stones in the ships, one at each end of the ships. And they gave light to their ships. So the Lord caused stones to give out light in the dark, to provide light for men, women, and children, so they wouldn't have to cross the sea in darkness. They prepared all kinds of food so they could survive on the sea, as well as food for their flocks, herds, and any other livestock or animal or bird they brought with them. When they had done all this, they boarded their vessels or small ships and set out on the sea, entrusting themselves to the Lord their God. The Lord God sent a furious wind blowing over the sea toward the promised land, and so they were tossed on the waves by the wind. They were buried in the sea many times because of the mountainous waves that broke upon them, and because of the powerful storms accompanying the violent wind. When they were buried in the deep sea, no water could hurt them, since their ships were watertight like a bowl, and they were also watertight like Noah's ark. When they were entirely underwater, they cried out to the Lord, and he returned them to the surface. The wind never stopped blowing toward the promised land while they were on the water, and they were always driven onward by the wind. And they sang praises to the Lord. Jared's brother sang praises to the Lord, thanking and praising him throughout the day. When night came, they didn't stop praising the Lord. And so they were driven onward, and no sea creature could wreck them, and no whale could stop them. They had light continually, whether above or under the water. And so they were driven onward upon the sea for 344 days. Then they landed on the shore of the promised land. When they set foot on the shore of the promised land, they bowed down to the ground and humbled themselves before the Lord, and shed tears of joy before the Lord because of his many tender mercies over them. Then they went out on the land and began to cultivate the earth. Jared had four sons. Their names were Jacob, Gilgah, Mahah, and Uriah. Jared's brother had sons and daughters as well. Jared's friends and his brother's friends numbered about 22. They also had sons and daughters before they came to the promised land, and so they began to multiply. They were taught to live with humility and obey the Lord, and they were also taught from above. They began to spread throughout the land, increasing in numbers and cultivating the earth and growing strong upon the land. Then Jared's brother became old and sensed he would soon die. So he said to Jared, "Let's gather our people in order to count them and find out what they want from us before we die." And in due course, the people were gathered. Now Jared's brother had 22 children, and Jared had 12, four of whom were sons. They counted their people, and after they had counted them, they asked them what they wanted them to do before they died. The people asked them to anoint one of their sons to be a king over them. This request deeply troubled them, and so Jared's brother told them, "This will certainly lead to slavery." But Jared told his brother, "Let them have a king." So he said to them, "Choose a king from our sons, whomever you wish." They chose the firstborn of Jared's brother, whose name was Pagag. But he refused, not wanting to be their king. And yet, the people wanted his father to compel him. But his father refused to do so, ordering them not to force any man to be their king. Then they chose each of Pagag's brothers, but they all declined. Jared's sons declined as well, all except for one. So Uriah was anointed to be king over the people. He began to rule, and the people began to prosper, becoming very wealthy. Then Jared died, and so did his brother. Uriah lived humbly and obeyed the Lord, remembering the Lord had done great things for his father, and teaching his people how the Lord had done great things for their fathers. Uriah administered justice over the land in righteousness his whole life, which was very long. He had sons and daughters. Indeed, he had 31 children, 23 of whom were sons. He also had a son named Kib in his old age, who ruled as his successor. And Kib had a son named Korihor. When Korihor was 32 years old, he rebelled against his father and went over and lived in the land of Nehor. He had sons and daughters who grew up to be very attractive, so Korihor drew away many people to join him. When he had assembled an army, he came up to the land of Moron, where the king lived, and took him prisoner, fulfilling the words of Jared's brother, that they would be brought into slavery. Now the land of Moron, where the king lived, was near the land later called Desolation by the Nephites. Kib lived in captivity, and so did his people under the rule of his son Korihor, until he became very old. Nevertheless, Kib had a son named Shul in his old age while he was still in captivity. Shul was angry with his brother. He grew strong and powerful as a man, and he was also skilled in judgment. So he went to the hill Ephraim and smelted ore from the hill, making steel swords for those he had drawn away with him. After he had armed them with swords, he returned to the city of Nehor and attacked his brother Korihor, in this way obtaining the kingdom and restoring it to his father Kib. Now because of what Shul had done, his father conferred the kingdom upon him, so he began to rule as his father's successor. He administered justice in righteousness and spread his kingdom throughout the land, since the people were very numerous. Shul also had many sons and daughters, and Korihor felt regret for the many evil things he had done. So Shul trusted him with power in his kingdom. Korihor had many sons and daughters. One of Korihor's sons was named Noah. Noah rebelled against King Shul and his father Korihor, and drew away his brother Kohor, all his siblings, and many of the people. He fought King Shul in battle, by which he gained the land they first inherited, and he became a king over that part of the land. Noah attacked King Shul again, capturing him and taking him away as a prisoner into Moron. When Noah was about to put him to death, Shul's sons crept into Noah's house at night and killed him, broke down the prison door, brought their father out, and placed him on his throne in his own kingdom. Therefore, Noah's son built up his father's kingdom as his successor. However, they lost control over King Shul. The people who were under the rule of King Shul benefited and grew strong. The land was divided, and there were two kingdoms, the kingdom of Shul and the kingdom of Kohor, Noah's son. Kohor had his people attack Shul, in which Shul defeated them and killed Kohor. Now Kohor had a son named Nimrod, and Nimrod surrendered Kohor's kingdom to Shul, gaining Shul's confidence. So Shul granted privileges to him, and Nimrod did what he wanted in Shul's kingdom. During Shul's reign, prophets came among the people. They were sent from the Lord and prophesied that the people's wickedness and idol worship were bringing a curse upon the land, and they would be destroyed if they didn't repent. But the people abused and mocked the prophets, and King Shul administered justice against all those who abused the prophets. He made a law throughout the land that authorized the prophets to go wherever they wished. Because of this, the people were brought to repentance. Because the people repented of their iniquities and idol worship, the Lord spared them, and they again began to flourish in the land. Shul had sons and daughters in his old age, and there were no more wars during Shul's time. He remembered the great things the Lord had done for his ancestors in bringing them across the sea to the promised land. Therefore, he administered justice in righteousness his whole life. He had a son named Omer who ruled as his successor. Omer had a son named Jared, and Jared had sons and daughters. Jared rebelled against his father and went to live in the land of Heth. He deceived a great number of people because of his sly, deceitful words until he had gained half the kingdom. Once he had gained half the kingdom, he attacked his father, took his father by force as a prisoner, and made him work as a slave. Omer was held in captivity half the time that he ruled. He had sons and daughters, among whom were Esram and Coriantumr. They were very angry because of what their brother Jared had done, so much so that they raised an army and attacked Jared by night. When they had destroyed Jared's army, they were about to kill him as well. But he begged them not to kill him, promising them that he would surrender the kingdom to his father. And they allowed him to live. Now Jared became despondent because he had lost the kingdom, since he had set his heart on the kingdom and the world's glory. But Jared's daughter was very astute, and seeing her father's unhappiness, she devised a plan to recover the kingdom for her father. Now Jared's daughter was very beautiful. She talked with her father and asked him, "Why is my father so sad? Hasn't he read the record that our ancestors brought across the sea? Isn't there an account about people long ago who obtained kingdoms and great glory using secret plans? Therefore, send for Achish, the son of Kimnor. I'm beautiful, and I'll dance in front of him, and I'll impress him so that he'll want to marry me. Therefore, if he asks you to give me to him to be his wife, you must say, 'I'll give her away if you agree to bring me the head of my father, the king.'" Now Omer was Achish's friend. So when Jared had sent for Achish, Jared's daughter danced in front of him, impressing him so much he wanted her to be his wife. He asked Jared, "Give her to me to be my wife." But Jared said to him, "I'll give her away if you agree to bring me the head of my father, the king." So Achish gathered all his relatives to Jared's house and asked them, "Will you swear allegiance to me in what I ask of you?" They all swore to him by the God of heaven, and by the heavens, the earth, and their heads, that anyone who deviated from what Achish wanted would lose their head, and anyone who divulged anything Achish revealed to them would lose their life. In this way they made an agreement with Achish, and Achish administered to them the oaths like the people long ago, who also tried to obtain power, oaths that had been handed down from Cain, who was a murderer from the beginning. They were maintained by the accuser's power in order to administer these oaths to the people, and to keep those who made these oaths concealed, and to help those who sought power to obtain it, resulting in murder, pillaging, lying, and committing all kinds of wickedness and whoredoms. It was Jared's daughter who gave her father the idea to search out these ancient things. Jared gave Achish the idea. So Achish passed it on to his relatives and friends, persuading them by pleasing promises to do anything he wanted. They formed a secret society, as they did long ago, a society God considers most corrupt and wicked of all, because the Lord doesn't operate by secret conspiracies. Neither does he want people to kill. On the contrary, he has always forbidden it since mankind's beginning. I, Moroni, am not writing the details of their oaths and conspiracies, since it has been revealed to me that they exist among all people, and they exist among the Lamanites. And they've brought about the people's destruction, whom I'm now writing about, as well as the Nephites' destruction. Any nation that upholds such secret conspiracies to get power and wealth until they spread throughout the nation will be destroyed, because the Lord won't permit the blood of his holy ones, which will be shed by them, to always cry out to him from the ground for vengeance without avenging them. Therefore, you Gentiles, it's God's wisdom for you to be shown these things, so you'll repent of your sins and not allow these murderous conspiracies that are always set up for power and money to control you, so that you won't provoke your own destruction. Indeed, The sword of justice of the eternal God will fall upon you to your ruin and destruction if you allow these things to continue. Therefore, the Lord commands you, when you see these things come among you, to wake up to a sense of your awful situation because of this secret society that's come into existence among you. Woe to this conspiracy on account of the blood of those who have been killed. They cry out from the dust for vengeance upon it, and upon those who make and support it. Indeed, whoever builds it up hopes to overthrow the freedom of all lands, nations, and countries. These conspiracies bring about everyone's destruction, since they're built up by the accuser, who's the father of all lies. He's the same liar who deceived our first parents, who caused people from the start to commit murder. He's hardened people's hearts so that they've murdered the prophets, stoned them, and banished them. As a result, I've been commanded to write these things so evil can be ended. And so the time will come when Satan won't have any power over people's hearts, so they can be persuaded to always do good and come to the source of all righteousness and be saved.